The perfect prayer. What is meant by perfect prayer? It equals automatic results. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is exactly A. In other words, it is artificial. How about RI, real intelligence? It excludes all A and includes all R. In other words, no artificial and everything real. Where can we find such intelligence? On page 587 of the Christian Science textbook by Mary Baker Eddy, it states, God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. On the same page, there's a definition of good, G-O-O-D. It is defined as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. On page 465, Mary Baker Eddy defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. If you contemplate those three definitions, you will find that God is all that exists, that there is nothing but God. God is absolutely all-inclusive, and God includes His manifestation and the highest form of God's manifestation is man, you and me, not as a human that is fallible, but as a perfect idea of God that reflects the qualities of God, that is flawless, that is transparent, and reflecting out all of the goodness that is inherent within us as a reflection of God. When the definition includes the word incorporeal, that excludes anything that is artificial. There is not a single element in any definition of the one and only real God that is anything of any substance other than spirit. Spirit is defined as flawless. If we want real intelligence, we cannot even begin to get close to anything that is artificial, because it is the diametric opposite, the antithesis of real. Knowing and ignorance are opposites. Spirit and matter are opposites. Flawless and flawed are opposites. Spiritual sense and material sense are opposites. Principle and chaos are opposites. Life and death are opposites. Truth and error are opposites. Love and hate are opposites. The first word in each of these sets of words is reality, and the second word is unreality, artificial, fantasy, a mirage, unreal. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. I attended a church service one time with a friend. Number one, because they asked me to do it, and I felt that would be the courteous thing to do. And second of all, I was curious, because I had never attended a service of that denomination. When we walked out of the service, I told my friend that I'd never heard the Lord's Prayer said at such a rapid speed. And my friend said, well, it's really more of a ritual than anything else. Mary Baker Eddy, on the other hand, said that if one understood thoroughly the Lord's Prayer, that it could heal instantaneously. Christ Jesus only gave us two sets of words that could be considered what is traditionally thought of as a prayer. One is the Lord's Prayer, and the second is his reply when the Pharisees ask him, what is the greatest commandment of all? He replied to that as follows: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. It seems that the first prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer, is a statement of truth about God Himself. And the second one, which are the two commandments, are in the verb form, meaning that action must be taken. One of the greatest music conductors of all time studied all of the conductors that had been in existence that were considered the greatest. And he carefully analyzed each one in excruciating detail. He literally made them his own. In other words, the qualities that they expressed were incorporated into his own thought, combined into a composition which then produced something uniquely his. He needed to put himself in the shoes of each one of those conductors that he studied so that he could do the best he could to think like they were thinking, so that he could understand it the way they understood it, to the best of his ability to do so. Of course, that's not possible to do it completely, because we would have to be that individual with all of the experiences that they had in their entire lifetime up to that point. And no one can do that. For everyone is unique. But he certainly did make the effort that could be made to make that a reality. And he did truly create a conductor within his own thought that was a very fine level of perfection. Suppose we took two of the greatest things that could be considered what Jesus said, the Lord's Prayer and the two greatest commandments, and approached it in the same way. And remembering that we are instructed to pray without ceasing, and of course we must remember what Habakkuk tells us in his wisdom when he stated, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. If one considers any part as well as the totality of the definitions that Mary Baker Eddy provides of God and good, they would automatically adopt, accept, and abide by the statement from Habakkuk. So, with these things being said, how could we possibly abide by them? Could we carry our church around so we could just constantly get down on our hands and knees and pray? Doesn't matter whether we are praying the Lord's Prayer or we're repeating the two great commandments from Christ Jesus. From a physical standpoint, that is not possible. But if we look at the definition of church from Mary Baker Eddy, she says in part, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. Now, what could rest upon and proceed from divine principle that would help us to pray without ceasing? Think about what Shakespeare told us. And it's a quote at the beginning of Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. One of the greatest Christian Science practitioners of all time, and probably could easily be considered next to Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy in his accomplishments from prayer. For one thing, he discovered how to pray retroactively. In other words, go back in time, so that the effectiveness of the prayer took place prior to him being requested to participate in bringing about a healing. So how do we pray without ceasing? Some statements have been made to guide us onto the right path. And how about the statement at the beginning of this recording that says the perfect prayer equals automatic results? Before we get too enthusiastic about this, remember that the definition of God includes God as being all-knowing. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, it can easily be divided into 7 days of creation because it states the end of each of the 7 days. And that covers up through verse 3 of chapter 2. Before it says there went up a mist. So we must accept that Genesis 1 up through verse 3 of Genesis 2 is reality. Because certainly if we're looking through a mist, we're not going to see reality. And in fact, we're seeing the antithesis of reality, the absolute opposite of reality. We're seeing a mirage, fantasy land, unreality. In the verses that are a spiritual record of creation, it states that man was made in the image and likeness of God. And it also clearly has a prerequisite where it says, let us. Let. So we have to open our consciousness to permit it to happen, permit it to be recognized, permit the benefits to flow individually and uniquely to each one that opens their thought. A number of healings in which Jesus was involved, he asked the individual that needed help if they believed that he could do it. Did they have faith? Could they trust that what they would like to have happen could be done? In fact, in Galilee, which is where he was appearing first on this planet Earth, he had trouble with healings because they thought of him as a boy or as a carpenter, but never when he had trouble were they thinking of him as a messenger from God. They were not thinking of him as the Son of God. They were not thinking of him as someone that was really very special. And they were forgetting the fact that he did not have a human father that was involved in bringing him about. So he already was a major step ahead of the rest of us that did have a human father involved. Because we have to overcome the belief that we were born a sinner Whereas Jesus only had to overcome the belief that he was half a sinner. So the lie upon lie, as Mary Baker Eddy refers to it, that has been compounded, which forms universal belief, only partially impacted Christ Jesus. Whereas it fully impacts our unconscious thought that we have to address and heal. If we take our church with us all the time, in other words, it is within consciousness, so that whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle is a guide . And if we pray without ceasing, which appears to mean only one thing, which is an absolute requirement to have automatic results, and that is, we have to live it. L-I-V-E. We have to live the prayer. The two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And love our neighbor as ourself. If we do that, all other commandments that you can think of that is of a spiritual nature, not one that is professed by a materialistic line of thinking, then we are being godlike, being flawless in our thought, speech, and action. Because that's basically what life is. It is an extension of our thought, speech, and action. Like Mr. Rawson said, Christian Science is the science of right thinking. And like Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So if we make our thinking to be a reflection of the perfection of God, who is all-knowing and all-seeing and all-acting and all-wise, who is also incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, and anything mental is under the purview of God, because God is mind. Anything that is substance is spirit, or spiritual, being a reflection of spirit. And any sense, which is seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, which are our facility for identification, that has to be of the substance of spirit. Principle, which is self-operating, always in balance, always harmonious, and is the entire structure and system of our entire being and life, which is living all the qualities of God flawlessly, eternally, and truth, which is also of the substance of spirit, so it is flawless. There is no error in truth. 6 times 9 is not 53 or 56. or 55 or 53.999 ad infinitum? It is 54. Exactly on the button. Are we following the path of truth where we do not let any mistake or error of any kind enter our life? What is our motive? Truth is motive. Truth is consciousness. What is in our consciousness? Are we utilizing a filter so that anything that comes to our thought has to get through the filter that only permits godlike thought, speech, or action, or thought, speech, and action? Mary Baker Eddy gave Bliss Knapp, when he was a young boy, a fan. He had come there with his father, Ira Knapp, to see Mrs. Eddy. And they went into a private room to have a discussion. And Bliss Knapp, the son, was left in another room with the fan. He later realized that the purpose of the fan was to separate truth from error. Not just to fan his face to make it cooler because it was a warm day. They didn't have air conditioning that was creating the coolness that we have since air conditioners have been invented. But that was a tremendous thing for him to realize. And that's what we have to do. We have to have a fan that does the filtering so that we only let into consciousness what is going to be reflecting and verifying that we are living the reflection of God, the reflection of perfection. So if we do this, if we live the life of perfection, are we going to know exactly what this automatic result is? We will know at the right time. We will know when we are ready. And we are ready according to a process. And that is touched on page 146 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. It states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, disease is anything that is a disease, anything that is discordant, anything that is ungodlike. You can put anything you want to in there if it's ungodlike. Sin, sickness, death, disease, a discordant relationship between two or more people, war, anything you want. As long as it's unlike perfection, unlike the harmony of God, it goes in there. Disease is everything that is not perfectly spiritual. anything with a defect, no matter how small, it goes in there as a dis-ease. Like an orchestra, you can have 500 instruments with the finest musicians that there are. But if one musician is distracted for whatever reason and does not play the perfect note or chord or whatever that is supposed to be played, the conductor hears it. He hears it. If it's a very fine conductor, he hears it. He knows that there is a defect. Ashkenazi, one of the finest pianists, was asked in one of his performances, "How is it you can play with such perfection?" And he said, "I practice, practice, practice." I don't know whether I have that exactly right in pronunciation, but that's the idea. He said, "I practice until the music plays me." He lived it. He made it his own by internalizing it, putting his thought where he thought the composer's thought was when he composed the music. He tried to think like the composer. And then he let go. He let go of any preconceived notion and became totally humble. If we are not reflecting absolutely the full intelligence of God, then we won't know what those automatic results are in advance. And if we're not alert, we may not know them even when they become a reality. We have to be awake. Humble. Alert. No small thinking. We have on our website a video, and in the menu it's "How big is your problem?" I think that's the words, something to that effect. Just go to topics. One click to get to topics, and then just look. And it shows planet Earth, the sun, everything is to scale. And it keeps showing larger and larger objects that are out there in the heavens. And it finally shows one of the largest ones. And the sun, which of course is much larger than Earth, looks to be a tiny, tiny dot. A professor took a big white sheet to his class and had a little black dot in the middle of it. He hung it up, said, "What do you see?" They all saw the white sheet. He said, "Look carefully." Then they saw the black dot. And they were sure that that was what this lesson was all about. And he said, "No. He said, I want you to not let the little black dot control you. You have to always be thinking at a higher level than where the problem is, if you want to solve it. In fact, that's almost exactly Einstein's words. He says you can't solve a problem on the same level of where the problem appeared. Think of mathematics. Think about what is the smallest measurement of time? Is it 1 second, a tenth of a second, a thousandth of a second, you know, which is a millisecond? There is no mathematical number that can express the smallest amount of time. You have to change the dimension from mathematics to words, because the word moment describes the smallest amount of time. It is not confined to mathematics, which can always be divided. The same with infinity. You can say all existence, but you can't express infinity in numbers. You can express it in words. That little word, A-L-L, it can be powerful in expression. Do we care what the results are going to be in our perfect prayer? If we do, then we're going to be blinded, because we're not all-knowing. In fact, I've never even met anyone that could walk on water. And being all-knowing, you got to do a lot more than that. No one knows how much you have to do or how much you have to understand to be all-knowing, because we're only a reflection. And we only have the ability to reflect in tiny degrees. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't try to accomplish everything in one step. She says, all we can do is work on progression. Try to make a little bit of progress today and add it to what you had already built as a foundation yesterday. It's like compounding interest. If you have $100 and you make 10%, the first year you make $10. But the second year, you've got $110 as your base. And if you make 10%, you're going to make $11. So instead of having a straight line from the total assets you have today to where it's going to be in 10 days from now, it's going to be a curve that is upward sloping. That is compounding. And it goes both ways. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, our unconscious belief is compounded lie upon lie. So we're compounded in a negative direction. If you've ever flown an airplane and studied it, how to do it, and all the factors that are involved, there's something called the backside of the power curve. And the backside of the power curve is something where you cannot overcome lift, where lift cannot overcome the drag. The drag means, you know, the weight, for example, or anything in the aerodynamic design that is, instead of a lift, it's a, you know, it's something that goes down. Well, that's what compounding negative is. We have to make sure in our thoughts we're not compounding negative. What does it say in Genesis 1? In fact, we did a whole treatment on this just in the last day or two. It's called evening and morning. And what does it say in Genesis? It says evening and morning was whatever day. So in other words, the evening is the beginning of the day. Most people think morning is the beginning of the day. Morning is not the beginning of the day. The evening of the prior day is the beginning of today. When I was leaving my thought open for an answer to this, this is what came to me. We cannot carry forward unfinished business from yesterday. Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article, which is on, I think, page 8 of Miscellaneous Writings. And it says, love your enemy. Or love your enemies, I believe it says. And she says, who is your enemy except someone that you think is your enemy? There's Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And think about Einstein. He says you can't solve a problem on the same level of where the problem occurred. So can you solve a problem about having an enemy if you're thinking on the level of where that thought came from? That was obviously a human thought. You have to raise up to a more divine level of thinking if you want to love your enemy. You can't force it. The brain is very slow at accepting new ideas because there is an unconscious, latent, universal belief that is hovering around. That's why Isaiah says, take it a step at a time. Mary Baker Eddy says, take it a step at a time. Don't try to accomplish it all in one instant. Because you're building a foundation, and you don't want it to be like a sandcastle on the beach, that when the first wave comes along that is bigger than what you anticipated, it flattens it out, the sand that is all level. We have to build a foundation that is going to be secure. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progress is concrete being. So the way to overcome the problem is to make a little bit of progress each day. Don't go to sleep if you didn't make any progress yesterday. Make some kind of progress before you go to sleep. Mary Baker Eddy checked herself 12 times, she says a dozen times a day, to make sure she was only thinking good about everyone. She says that's her secret to healing, to instantaneous healing. Make sure there's not an element of thought that is negative about anyone. Now, how do we do that? We have to depersonalize our belief of evil. We cannot attach a face to it. We have to, if we're going to fight evil, we have to fight evil and not fight person. In Jesus' parables, he gave us 41 parables. And those were supposedly his most well-defined teachings. They were totally impersonal in nature. He would say, a certain man, or the son of this, or whoever. but he never mentioned names. He did not attach a face to the lesson. It was impersonal. The Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. You cannot have a personal relationship with God. God is qualities. God is principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. God is incorporeal. There's no body there. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise. All-loving and eternal. Loving? He's not loving a human. He is love. God is love. And therefore, reflecting God is reflecting the love of God. Not a sensual love. Not a human love from the standpoint of human. It's the divine nature of love that is expressed to individuals. Caring for them. Nurturing them. Giving to them what their need is. Wherever possible, do it anonymously. Try to detach the face of the giver, you, if you're giving. The purpose of this recording is not to dwell on this, but if you're having difficulty in your life, if you're trying to accomplish a healing, which of course is the wrong approach, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Divine love always has and always will meet every human need. But we have to be seeking a better understanding of God. Not saying, oh God, take care of this. I got this little problem. Would you take care of it? You're better off, instead of saying, God, I need X number of dollars, you're better off by stating that you already have available to you whatever it is that you think you need. Do you need transportation? Do you need housing? Do you need food? Well, think in terms of the quality. Your home is your consciousness. Food is sustaining. Make a statement like, you know that God sustains his own creation. God sustains his own manifestation. Don't think about a delicious dessert. God, give me a banana split. Or whatever you like as a dessert. Maybe fresh raspberries on homemade ice cream. Whatever it is. Think about the quality. When you look at a tree that is absolutely beautiful and perfect, think of the beauty, the word beauty, because God is all beauty. Everything beautiful is a manifestation, an outgrowth of God's qualities. It's a symbol of God's qualities. Referring to the statement that unless we were all knowing, we wouldn't know how the need is going to be met. When I was in business, I would think I had a need for an individual with certain qualifications. several times I would look out there for the solution instead of within. If I would have looked within, I would have considered contacts that I already had. For example, a good friend. I had a good friend that was perfect for one of the needs that the business had, but I didn't think of that individual. So I looked outside the business. I would have been better served to look inside. If we let go of preconceived ideas, then we are open to a broader range of solutions. We want to be open to all of the solution possibilities, and only God knows that, because God is all-knowing. In other words, when we get our consciousness in alignment with all of the qualities of God, then our life is going to express the balance that is needed to bring forth what appeared to have been a lack. Wentworth Winslow is another genius of a Christian Science healer, practitioner. And he said, imagine about an individual going to heaven and knocking on the door. And an angel answers the door and says, how can I help you? And so the individual starts telling the angel his woes, you know, the things that he is lacking, that he needs. It could be anything. You fill out the blank. Could be food, shelter, clothing, relationship, could be anything. Money. Of course, money is not what really one needs. If one has a need, it's not for money. You can't eat it. You can't sleep with it. So it's not a, if you need a mattress, it doesn't do it. You need the mattress. Think about these countries that have had their money become worthless. That's what can happen to money. But the idea is still there. The need is still there if your money becomes worthless. Think of your money being worthless. In other words, it's not a factor in the formula. Think about what the need is. What is the quality that is missing from your thought? And that will help you decide what the real need is. And that will open your thought to let the solution come to you as a messenger, as an angel message. Think of the old adage that says, what is good for the goose is good for the gander. What that means is, or what it was intended to mean, was that is whatever is fair and equitable is what should come about. And if two people are in a similar situation, they should both get what is fair and equitable. The all-knowing, all-intelligent, remember the definition of good. It was God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction. That word omni means one, only, and all. And omniscience means that God is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. All. That means no one else is. God is. No other entity is. God is. God is all intelligent, all wisdom, and all knowing. And also the substance of God is spirit. In fact, God is spirit, which is the only substance. So get in tune with spirit if you want to find a solution. If you want the solution to come to you, it might have to hit you on top of the head to wake you up. We have to be open to everything. In other words, have no limited concept of how to fulfill the need. Try to get closer to God, understand God better, and then we will be able to be in alignment with being able to recognize the solution. We have to be living our prayer, which means we have to be expressing the qualities of God in everything we think, say, and do. It is far bigger than any brain. God is more comprehensive than anything that is limited, anything that is finite. Matter is finite. A glob of whatever the brain is supposedly made out of is finite. If we're going to seek God first and His righteousness, then we've got to do it. The perfect prayer, which guarantees results, is living the perfect life. Focusing on living the perfect life. Living your prayer. Your prayer is not requesting God to do something. Genesis 1 states everything is already done. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy has a spiritual translation of those first three words. Instead of being in the beginning, it is in the only. In other words, the only creation there is what Genesis 1 through verse 3 of Genesis 2 is relating to the open thought. It's relating to whomever is going to accept the truth. In fact, the very first quote in Science and Health is, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." What is the truth? The truth is, what is God? The answer to that question is the truth. And it was described in the first part of this recording. I reiterated some various definitions of God. Physicists have tried their entire lifetime to come up with the root notions of what Mary Baker Eddy discovered and related in a few words. In fact, Einstein said about Mary Baker Eddy, he said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." He was referring to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And "Blessed art thou" is Mary Baker Eddy. And he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. That's 80. So that was probably around the time of World War II that he said that, because she discovered Christian Science in 1866. So 80 years from 1866 would have been 1946. A woman could not own property. A woman could not vote. In Jesus' time, they didn't even count women and children. When he preached on the hillside to 5,000 one time and 4,000 to another, they said 5,000 plus women and children, or 4,000 plus women and children. They didn't even count them. They didn't even count the mother. You talk about enslavement. The woman was enslaved. Mary Baker Eddy said she hoped that someday the woman would be granted equal rights to the man. And she said, but I hope it doesn't go too far the other way. You know, it was an extreme. The woman had no rights whatsoever. To breathe the air was about it. And of course, it has gone the other way. I don't know for sure, but I would not be surprised if more major corporations are not headed up by women compared to men. I know back around the early part of the eBay days, eBay CEO was a woman. I was shocked when I found that out. And that's when I realized that there was definitely a move taking place that was replacing men with women. And of course, as that progressed, the woman was no longer a household homemaker. And what that means is that we had a breakdown of the marriage, a breakdown of the family. We have a very low birth rate of new children. And of course, family is one of the unifying functions of civilization. And when you have no family, that is a major division within civilization. If we're going to be human, if we're going to have a human civilization as opposed to robots, then there has to be family. One thing that's very important to understand about the perfect prayer, which again is our living, how we live, and that is what the genius Frederick L. Rawson said. He said, our purpose in life is to make other people happy. Sam Walton did it by letting his customers bring back anything, anytime, under any circumstances, and giving them a choice of exchanging it for something else or giving them their money back. Totally up to the individual customer. Jesus made other people happy by healing them. If you're in business, what kind of customer service do you have in trying to please your customers? My dad was in business for 50 years. He told me that the most valuable advertising in the world is a satisfied customer. He said there's no money can buy what the value is of a satisfied customer. No money can buy the advertising that a satisfied customer can do in advertising for the good of your business. He said, doesn't matter what it takes. You can lose money on the deal, it doesn't matter. You make everybody happy. I can hear him saying it right now, as if we're together. If you are not giving with all your heart, you're not going to have the perfect prayer. You're not going to get the perfect result. What can you give? The Institute published a diagram with one of the recorded treatments, which gave a lot of ideas. It's easy to think of money, but there's a lot more than money that ought to be thought of. Everything in your life you can give. We have 1,440 minutes a day. How much are we giving for the benefit of others? How about talent? How about education? How about skill? It doesn't take very much in the way of creative thought to come up with many different ways that one can give, one can share, one can give a hand up or a leg up. I've mentioned this in other recordings, but I was coming out of a department store, it was a big one that had everything, you know, food and clothing and, you know, like a mini shopping center, big store. Anyway, as I was approaching my vehicle, a man came up to me and asked for a donation. And I looked at him, and he was dressed, you know, he looked like he was clean and dressed, and he wasn't a tramp. He didn't look homeless. And that was the first thought that came to me, that, you know, this guy looks like everyone else walking in and out of the store. So I asked him, I said, well, why do you need the money? And he said, I lost my job. I didn't have any savings. I don't have any money even to put in my vehicle to go and look for another job, to have interviews or whatever. And he didn't have a computer or know how to operate one. So it's not like he could do it online, which a lot of things are done online in terms of obtaining a job and so forth. I said, well, what do you do? What are your skills? He said, I can fix anything. To make a long story short, I gave him money to put gas in his vehicle and had him follow me up to my home. And he ended up working for me for 3 months. He fixed everything there was to fix. He was very creative. It was a beautiful mutual benefit. If we have an interest in helping other people, we don't just try to look at the symptom, in this case was money. We try to find what the cause is and see if we can work from the root of the problem. When he finished for that working for me for 3 months, he found another job very easily. He had the money because he had been working for me for 3 months. And he found a job, and there was no loss of time. It was like the day that he finished on the last thing for him to do, he was ready to go to work for the other company. If we are not utilizing everything about us to share with others, then we're not seeking God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're not doing it. Certainly we must have some skill. Can we help others learn that skill? You hear the stories of retired people, but they probably have more wisdom than someone younger. Mary Baker Eddy says, age should not be thought of as years, but should be thought of as an increase in wisdom. I mean, we certainly have the opportunity. We have lived more life. Did we use it to learn from? Did we let it modify how we were living our life so it was done more intelligently? The perfect prayer can be a lot of fun, because what comes with it is a more perfect life. The more perfect our prayer is, the more perfect our life will be. The last 100 pages of the textbook, beginning on page 600 and going to 700, so it's like 101 pages, is testimonies from people who had improvements in their life by studying thoroughly the textbook. Some of them mentioned that they did it several times. Start at the beginning and go to the end. Start at the beginning and go to the end. And each time they read it, they got a better and better understanding. And they might have thought they had one major problem. And most of them indicate that there were four or five or more things that were also healed as a result of their study of the textbook. They had no help from anyone else. And many of them were very cautious, because they knew nothing about Christian Science, but many of them were like at the end of their rope. They didn't know what else to do, so they figured they would try it. And then after they started studying the textbook, they got more and more interested, and in a number of cases, they totally forgot about the problem that first attracted them to Christian Science, because they were looking for a solution and they were not able to find it any other way. Many people that have been attracted to Christian Science had already exhausted all other sources for healing, and they failed So they had no alternative but to try something different. Nikola Tesla was a genius that was on planet Earth here from 1856 to 1943. He's described as an engineer, a futurist, and an inventor. And he's known for his contributions to the design of the modern alternating current electric supply system. He says we have all the free electricity that we could possibly use right within the Earth. And apparently, there was a fight between free electricity and the corporate interests that wanted to continue regulating the electricity so that they could charge everyone that used it. Now, that's probably a simplified version, but basically he said that all the electricity we need can be free, and the corporate interest said, we want to charge you for it. Now, the interesting thing is that President Donald John Trump had an uncle by the name of John G. Trump. And his life on Earth here was from 1907 to 1985. And he's described as the same as Tesla, an electrical engineer, an inventor, physicist, except it doesn't say futurist. He was professor at the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, from 1936 to 1985, when he passed on. And he was close friends with Nikola Tesla. And there are various stories, and probably President Trump is the only one that knows the truth, but supposedly, when Tesla passed on, all of his papers were then given to John Trump, which is President Trump's uncle. And when he passed on in 1985, then all of those papers were given to President Trump. Very shortly, we should be able to gain the benefit of Tesla's work, because that certainly is a strong desire of President Trump. In fact, he's already made public statements that he expected within 12 months to have the electric bill down 50% for everyone from what it is right now. Now, I don't know what that entails, whether there's equipment that is involved and towers and whatever to have the electricity that is within the earth to be able to be transmitted to everyone through the air or whatever it is. But we can look forward to some very wonderful things developing, and that's only one of many, many, because our patent office has been controlled by the UK and everything has been suppressed so that patents that have been available or inventions that have been available have not been able to be used. And we're now less than 3 weeks from the election, and President Trump is and has been the commander-in-chief since 2016, And if you look at the cap that he's been wearing for the last year, year and a half, it says 45-47. And he is the 45th, 46th, and 47th president, or soon will be the 47th. And the nuclear codes were never given to the fake administration of Joe Biden. But the only reason that things have appeared to be shifting from Trump to Biden is because of a huge operation going on behind the scenes where tens of thousands of people are being exposed so they can be cleaned out of the system and many of them cleaned out of civilization. And we've published on our website a number of activities that have taken place along that line. But the point of this recording is that twofold. One is the perfect prayer is living the way we should be living as the image and likeness of a perfect God that is a God of qualities, not a God that is a body that was in a mother's womb and came out for 33 years and then was crucified and then had a probationary period after resurrection and then ascended. Because that was a man. And his name was Jesus, which is a common name. And Jesus himself said he is not God. In fact, he said he wasn't even good. When they called him good, he says, "Why call me good?" He says, "I'm not good. The only good is God." And of course, that goes along with the definition in the Glossary of Science and Health on page 587 that was mentioned a couple of times in this recording. So he has stated specifically that he is not God. But at a council meeting between governments and churches at 325 AD defined Jesus as being God. 300 years after he was gone. And the churches have all picked up on that except for one church, which is the Christian Science Church, and they call Jesus God. I don't know how an intelligent man can do that because there's no logic in God being a human. There's nothing that makes sense about that at all. So why everybody got sucked into that and why they haven't awakened is beyond comprehension. It's beyond any sense of intelligence. But anyway, that is not the focus of this recording. So two things that are important to think about. One is that our prayer is how we are living our life. And number two, don't try to plan how the solution is going to be if we have a problem. Did you know before the last 3 minutes that we could have all the electricity that we want for free? That was discovered by Nikola Tesla a very long time ago? Probably not. Imagine your electric bill is cut in half within 12 months. And maybe it's going to be cut a lot further than that. there's probably some costs involved in having the use of that free electricity, you know, whatever kind of equipment or whatever is required to get it out of the ground and to regulate it so that it's going to come through and not blow out your house with too much electricity coming through. You know, there's obviously some things involved. But if we think we know the answer, then we're doing the wrong thing by praying. Because praying is the way we live our life. And are we going to live our life with a finite viewpoint? Or are we going to open it up to a broader solution? It's up to us. If we don't open it up to a broader solution, especially after listening to this recording, then I guess you have to suffer more. You have to suffer more living a life that is purely from a material viewpoint because you're not ready for a spiritual solution that offers so much more than you could even dream of. So if you're not ready for that, you're not ready for it. Everyone has to work out their own salvation. I can't work out your salvation. You can't work out mine. Everyone is individual and unique and will develop at the speed that they're ready to develop as they are ready to develop. And our business is to take care of our own consciousness, not someone else's. Our business is to work out our salvation, not someone else's. When we realize that there is only one God, and that God is qualities that are omnipresent and available to everyone to reflect, and that we are not someone that owns ourself, we are only a reflection of God. And the only possession, the only owner of anything is the source. And God is the source of everything that exists. Frederick L. Rawson said it best. He said, there is nothing but God. I'm totally grateful for everyone that I've gained spiritual inspiration from. I'm grateful for the lessons that I learned from my dad, from other people that were spiritually oriented. All of the characters in the Bible from which I've gained inspiration from, particularly Christ Jesus and Paul, but many others, many, many others. How many of you are familiar with Habakkuk? The one that said, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Or the one that said, God is no respecter of persons. Are you aware of the statement that Jesus made, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you? Are you aware that he gave us the two commandments? Are you aware that Mary Baker Eddy said that if we really understood the Lord's Prayer, that we could heal instantaneously? Are you aware of what Dr. Fluno said? One of Mary Baker Eddy's first students that was one of her first lecturers. He said, criticism is basically the source of all evil. Finding fault with others is the biggest problem for humanity. I feel that I have learned such a tiny little speck of what there is to learn. I'm like that little black dot on that huge white sheet, or the little dot that represents the size of Earth compared to the largest bodies out there in the heavens. But the beauty is, we only have to take it one step at a time. And every day we have 1,440 minutes to use. We lose them if we don't use them. They don't come again. Today's date and this moment is only here for an instant. Mary Baker Eddy says that often the difference between success and failure is how we use our moments. And I think in another place she says that is the most important thing, is how we use our moments. That is our prayer. That is our life. How are we living our life? Are we living our life in a productive way? She says everyone can do more than they do. And look what she accomplished. Unbelievable. She couldn't even own property, couldn't vote. And what did she do? She started a movement that became the fastest growing religious movement in all of history. But she had the same problem Jesus did. Almost everybody hated him. Same way with Mary Baker Eddy. As soon as she passed on, they took her picture out of the textbook. They got rid of every monument they could find that was giving her credit for what she did. They destroyed her houses or sold them off. The greatest people of all time are not appreciated at the time that they were here. And she is certainly no exception. Nikola Tesla is no exception. Look what they're trying to do to Elon Musk. Look what he's done. Just the other day, a missile or a rocket landed in its launching pad. Seconds after it was traveling at 400 miles an hour, landed in the launching pad. Russia was making all of our rockets. I have nothing against Russia, but my gosh, to have it being done in the U.S. is wonderful. The government, the fake government, is doing everything they can to put Elon Musk out of business. Same with President Trump. Because they are now working together to get rid of the swamp. Well, and there's other great ones. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They're putting poison in, or they've been doing this for a very long time, poison in our water, in the food, in the seeds that are planted. You know, he's going to focus on that, cleaning that all up. So we have a great, great team that are really, in my view, God-appointed messengers. They have a task that is getting the help of God's hand. And they're all recognizing that there is a supreme being out there. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Reagan recognized that, President Reagan. I don't think anyone else has for a very long time before Reagan, but Reagan recognized it, and of course the founding fathers recognized it. And we've got the team of people right now that recognize it. We're very fortunate to be living in this time where not only do we have the benefits that have just been mentioned, but evil has very specific characteristics. And we can read about it in the book, any book, well, any book. I'm thinking about science and health. But we are the only generation that is able to experience its eradication live. Live. We have a number of recordings that give details on all this. Look for the word evil. Look at our recordings, our treatments on evil. We have an opportunity that the English language cannot express. As mentioned before, I'm grateful for everything, and it is wide and broad and deep. And there's nothing that can dilute or block, stop or reverse the effectiveness of whatever truth is stated in this recording. It is permanent, it's eternal, and it's for the benefit of all mankind. And nothing can change it. Nothing can make it ineffective. As mentioned, nothing can stop it or reverse it or dilute it or deflect it. It has the power of God. Just like Mary Baker Eddy said, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. And whenever we put out statements of truth, that is power. Remember, we need to close out yesterday before we can start today, because it's evening and then morning. God is all there is, all source, all manifestation, and there is nothing but God. Amen.